across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello, all you wonderful people, and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, as you know, I have just returned from Free Your Mind Conference number 5. Wow. 5 years running, going, and this is an epic gathering, folks. I realize that a lot of people go there thinking that they're coming to a conference to gather data, knowledge, and see these speakers live in front of them. But the truth is that we come there to gather. We come there to find like-minded people and to sort out who we are through the eyes of people that understand us. And I see this over and over again at the Free Your Mind Conference. Now, this last lecture I gave, if you can call it that, was really a test of trust for me. I continually tried to plan my talk for the Free Your Mind, and my brain kept telling me, no, sorry, I'm not going to think about it. And I'm thinking, well, this is a problem. I have to get up on stage and speak for an hour. Please, brain, think about this for a minute. You know, pretend you're on stage now. No, not going to do it. So it was a lesson in trust, in trusting myself, in getting up on stage without any preparation and giving a talk. Well, folks, it turns out that I'm quite a comedian. I had no idea, but I had them rolling in the aisles, and I loved every minute of it. This may be my next career, guys. I might jump into the comedy circuit. Who knows? But it was amazing. It was epic, and I hope that we can all find a way to gather like we do at the Free Your Mind Conference. I even suggested that we all go out to the Rainbow Gathering next year and have, you know, 500 of us out there together. There's already hundreds of Friends of Freeman out there in the rainbow world. So, you know, to bring another 500 of you plus all of our special guests and stuff would be epic. So just to keep that in mind, you've got an entire year from the 4th of July to plan this and think about it, and we'll all gather together. Because I think it's important that we get back to the primitive state like rainbow gatherings are. I mean, that's primitive living. Realize that you do, you know, do your business in a trench. So keep that in mind as well. No porta potties, folks. This is primitive living. But it's a way to show you that the intuition age is upon us. And the Rainbow Gathering is such a microcosm of the macrocosm reversed. Because once you get into Rainbow, the information age is out the door. You're not even going to get a signal. But your intuition is going to expand. And you're going to be blown away at how many synchronicities occur in this small little world. And you're going to be amazed at how many people from every walk of life has gathered together in this unity and understanding. So I think it's really important. And it was a highlight of my talk. And I even manifested a massive free buffet at the conference, turning it into somewhat of a gathering. So, you know, it works right here and there. It's just that it's, you know, it's the inverse of what we're dealing with now. So anyway, Free Your Mind was quite epic. I hope that the YouTube does well. And you guys, you know, I'm curious to see how it translates. I definitely had them rolling there in the audience. So I hope it translates over into the YouTubes. Speaking of YouTubes, guys, I don't know if you've heard this from every single host that is on the air right now, but they are cutting us right on out, folks. YouTube has knocked us down. And my numbers are, you know, down half, right? More than half. It's ridiculous. And it's not because of the quality of the content. It's because YouTube no longer shares us in their algorithms. They are blocking us due to fake news media and all of that nonsense that's going on. So please, it's very important to this day that you share this information with your friends and family and everyone that you can. Put it in forums. Put it out there, because YouTube, Google, they are just crushing us. And you can go and look at all the numbers and see that this is the case. So it's never been more important for you to subscribe to all the content that you love. So, you know, if you love this show, The Free Zone, it's 12 years, folks. 12-year anniversary will be May 1st, you know, just 9 days away. 12 years of shows that have been going on here. And every single one of them is still relevant. All right, that's over 700 shows for you to listen to. I did the math, and if you were to go and devote 8 hours a day to nothing but Freeman, you would be busy for the next 6 months. And so realize there is just a ton of information and a ton of potential going over 12 years. So, happy anniversary, happy birthday to the Free Zone in a week. I'm very excited about that. Now, I just, that's something special. So one other thing I noticed, and I want to just tell you guys how much I appreciate you, because Fritz Springmeier came to me at the conference and said, Freeman, you have the best audience. You just have the most wonderful people listening to you. And they said that our show together was the best thing ever. All my fans said that you gave me the best show and that that was the most that anyone had ever appreciated the work of Fritz Springmeier. Well, folks, Fritz Springmeier is homeless. He is surfing couches. He is working stock jobs, lifting things in his poor old age. And this is not something I can stand for. Fritz Springmeier is definitely not someone who deserves to have a regular job. I mean, this guy brought us Bloodlines of the Illuminati, How to Create an Undetectable Illuminati Mind Control Slave. He is the go-to guy for this information on Illuminati mind control, and he's back there lifting boxes and stacking things. So I have offered Fritz a position here on Freeman TV. He is going to start a new broadcast right here on the his own show here on FreemanTV.com. And so more than ever, we need your support. So I hope you guys will come along, jump in, and subscribe to the show. It really, really matters. It really makes a difference. And we'll go so much further knowing that you're there. And I will be able to actually get Fritz out of a regular job, this guy. So realize that most of us guys are just hanging by a thread. And we're seeing that thread fray as Google takes our money, as our spread is limited, and everything goes down. So it is a perfect time for you to take the mantle and share all of this and come over and subscribe and let me get Fritz Springmeier out of that job and let me keep going. So please do all of that. It really matters. So today we're going to discuss this very thing. We're going to discuss the narrative of life that deals with the transformation of our world. We have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Penny Pierce. Many of you will know her from her books like The Intuitive Way or Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration, or her most recent work, The Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention. And we're going to understand this leap in perception and understanding the emergence of our new world, that we must realize that we don't, okay, you're a unique crowd out there, folks. We are taking in so much of the dark knowledge. We think that we need to know every nefarious act of our leaders and world population, and then we feel that we must then go on a witch hunt, turning to anger and vengeance. And I've been trying to tell you for 12 years now that this is not why we learn this information. We learn this information because we want to transform from it. And until we can re-script the narrative, we will continue to follow down the path of the angry elite that are guiding us into division. And there has never been a greater time of division and a greater need for our intuition to take over. So Penny Pierce is a well-respected international expert on intuition and perception. She's a gifted clairvoyant, empath, and visionary, a pioneer in the intuition development movement. She's worked around the world as a coach and trainer to business and government leaders, psychologists, scientists, and any of those out there on the spiritual path since 1977, folks. She was into this movement, this understanding, long before most of us had even considered the word synchronicity. So Penny is affiliated with the Center of Applied Intuition, the Institute for the Study of Conscious Evolution, Coach University, Coaches Training Institute. She's talked in Europe, all over the world, the Kaiser Institute, and has been a has led Vision Quest tours, hosted TV talk shows, presented keynotes, workshops. You guys are going to love her. Her website is pennypierce.com. Now, there are a couple of confused E's in there, so I just want to make sure you got this. Penny is spelt P-E-N-N-E-Y, right? And Pierce, P-E-I-R-C-E. So that is pennypierce.com. Get over there, check out all she has to do, and welcome to the show, Penny.
Oh, thank you for that great introduction.
Yes. Oh, I just felt this was the perfect show for this moment. And I guess that's what you're all about.
I try to stay right, you know, on the edge of what's happening. You know, I always try to look at underneath the surface of things and try to find out what the energy is doing. And then how that form in the outer world is paralleling that. You know, so that we can kind of merge the non-physical and physical realms. And that's, you know, that's of course what transformation is really all about. You know, bringing the spirit all the way into the body or into the personality and finding the light inside of matter.
You know? Yes, yes, absolutely. It's a difficult path, especially for those of us that are taking in all of this nefarious activities of what we call the elite or just the powers that be in our world right now, that so many of us, even those of us like myself that have been on the path for a long time, have lived the life of intuition, still fall into despair because of all the data. I mean, never before in the world has humanity known as much about everybody as we do right now.
Oh, that's true. That is so true. And, you know, and by studying personal transformation for so many years and really looking at all the stages of it, I see what's happening today as really a part of that process. It's not something really that should be seen as super negative. To me, there's a clearing process going on. And it's as though the subconscious mind, with all that negative fear-based stuff, old negative beliefs and ideas and behaviors and wounds, it's like that's a frequency of consciousness, and it's a low frequency. You know, anything based on fear is a low vibration. And that stuff, it's like the planet itself has been increasing in vibration. So that old stuff really doesn't have a place to hide anymore. You know, it used to be that we could suppress it and deny it and pretend it wasn't there and, you know, leave our body and not look at it. But now we can't do that because it's coming up everywhere. It's like surfacing. Sometimes I liken it to popcorn popping. You know, it's just coming up to the surface. And in individual lives, you know, we're seeing, you know, all kinds of reenactments of old painful experiences or traumas. Earlier similar experiences are now coming back in a new form. And so people are in fear, they feel stuck. But then societally, it's coming up in politics, in the news, in current events, all the things we never used to look at, like pedophile priests and, you know, these conspiracy theories and people who are, you know, retrenching into control games to try to maintain security. You know, all that stuff's coming up now.
Yeah, we see that constantly right now in the massive division, even in the truth movement. You know, there's derogatory names being tossed about. I'm watching leaders of this movement dealing with trolls on their comments. I mean, when I watch a host like, well, all right, let's throw out a name, Alex Jones, who spends an entire hour fighting with the commenters that have left messages, and oh boy, Penny, those comments hurt, don't they? You know, and we get caught up in this, and next thing we know, we're just battling over nothing, and it's just such a sad state.
Well, you see, when a lot of what's in the subconscious mind is based on opposition, and that's partly because when you're in a fear-based kind of perception, it's a linear kind of perception. You know, in other words, here's me, there's you over there. We have this perception of empty space in between. And that means that we have also a perception that there's an outside world. you know, that it's disconnected and that we're all separate from each other. And that produces fear, you know. And so when you have a perception of the outside world, that's a, looks like a huge thing out there that's inimical, you know, that's dangerous, and that we have to try to protect ourselves from. And then that protection leads to all kinds of weird behaviors like controlling things, lying, having secrets, you know, all these things where we just can't be ourselves because it's not safe, you know. So that has built to a crescendo in today's day and age, I think. And all of that is what's surfacing now. So those things, when they come up, they're based on, I have to be this way to be safe, and other people, but I'm going to be that way to be safe. You know, I'll be passive and leave my body and not, you know, not be here. And the other ones are like, I'll be strong and have, you know, act like the controlling parent or the dictator, and everything will be narcissistically my way. You know, so there's a huge amount of polarity coming up right now.
Without a doubt. And it is so hard, it's so difficult to tell yourself that you're okay right now. I had to do this, Penny. I lived on the road a lot. I mean, I've been homeless 4 times doing this show. And I'm more of one that's home free. I'm one that when I'm out there, I'm having a good time as best as I can. I'm not a victim of my homelessness. But I would still find myself in these moments of fear. Oh my God, where am I? What am I going to do? Where do I go? And I would tell myself, or I'd question myself and say, well, am I okay right now? And I'd think about it and I'd say, okay, I've got a little food, I got shelter, I'm comfortable, things are good, everything seems fine. And it is so hard for us to remember that in all this craziness that's being pummeled onto us through the mainstream media and social networks, to feel okay when everything is okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, you know, part of what I wrote about was the power of attention and how, you know, when you place attention on something, that's what comes alive for you. That's what the shape your reality takes. So if you get sort of obsessed with negativity and conspiracies and how the big bad world out there is against you, you're just going to keep seeing that, and more of that stuff's going to come up, and you'll basically paralyze yourself.
It is an endless pit.
It is. It's an endless pit. And it's not that you shouldn't notice it, you know, but notice it, but don't keep your attention on it. And that means you have to have something that's bigger and better and more truthful to refocus into. And I call that your home frequency. You know, it is that vibration of who you are when the soul is really in the body. You know, when you're really being yourself and you're enjoying it. And it is in the moment. It's a present moment phenomenon. That right now, you know, and I've done that. Same thing you've done. I say, well, right now, nature's working where everything's actually fine. You know, I'm fine. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm doing my thing. And whatever's happening is going to fade and pass on into its next transformation, you know. And so you have to boil it down to the present moment, I think, and make it really personal and then take it back out from there with that new vibration of your own harmonious self. Then look at this stuff through that filter. I mean, the stuff meaning politics and whatever's going on out in the world in that bigger self of ours. And have a look at it as part of a larger process. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, to me, this is kind of the last gasp of what, you know, going on in politics in the world today of old, I call it old perception. You know, old linear perception where, you know, it's so fearful for a lot of people who, you know, conservatives especially, who've had their reality based on very strong beliefs where everything's locked in and it has to be this way and it's fundamental and change is too scary. You know, so fluidity is quite scary. You know, so going with the flow is not really an option. You want to stop the flow and make it stay the same forever. You know, and that's a retrenching into a sort of a, either phobic or counterphobic way of dealing with the fear that's surfacing.
Well,
Does that make sense?
yeah, absolutely. We're led to believe that we live in a linear existence, that step A leads to step B and so far and so forth. And we try to plan out every aspect of life on planet Earth. And that's really what we see going down with the global governance and you know, seed vaults and people taking control of everything, that we believe that step A leads to step B, which will lead to step C. But those in the intuition game, we know that your life can change in an instant.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be based on the past. You know, what happens, I think, is if you start to learn to live in the present moment, there really is flow, but it's not going forward. The flow is more this blinking in and out, or I call it the round trip. You know, so here I am in the particle-based reality of the physical world. I'm in my body, I'm doing a task, and then I relax, and I sort of expand out to the imaginal realm and the many worlds realm of physics, you know, where everything exists in the unified field. And then I can pick other variables if I want there and put my attention on them, and then those materialize next. And they don't have to be connected to what the last one was. So there is not necessarily a linear path forward. It's like a blinking on and off. And you have the freedom each time you blink out to create different variables and come back with, you know, a revised reality. So that really we are quite unlimited. But we have to get over this need for security through maintaining reality in a credible state. That's just left brain dominance.
Yes. You know? Yes, absolutely. I've brought somebody with me every time I've traveled in my van. And I'm the kind of guy who'll get in a van, drive 100 miles, and my passenger will say, well, where are we going? And I'm, oh, I don't know. Pick a spot, you know? And yanking the carpet out from under people like that, I have definitely watched the reactions that happen and the fear. And I would constantly be the one saying, no, no, watch. This is all going to work. I promise you. But quite often, their fear and their concerns would step in the way and things would fall apart. And
That's what happens. You know, any kind of fear or old belief, which is based, you know, I think comes out of fear, where you have to lock something down to try to preserve it, is a contraction of energy and also a contraction of consciousness, because energy and consciousness really are flip sides of the same coin. You increase the energy, you increase consciousness, and vice versa. So anytime you contract, you block the flow. And that could be through negative thinking. It could be through, chip on your shoulder. Sure.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Or projecting ahead a negative experience because you had one in the past and you think anything similar is going to result the same way.
Yes.
You know, so you're projecting the past onto the present and the future. And of course, a similar situation doesn't have to go the same way at all. It's totally different in each now moment.
Absolutely. So, as long as your attitude is different, then your experience will be different.
That's right.
And you step in your own way so many times by sticking to your guns and proving that things are going to go badly.
right. What they call it, being dead right.
It's like, I'll show you. Well, you know, a lot of people are like me right now. I've just moved to a strange place. I have no idea. I don't know anyone. I'm home alone. I don't know how to get out and motivate myself to meet new people, to start to engage the flow. Do you have advice to help me and others get out of our houses and engage us?
Well, I'm sort of in the same situation. I came to Florida from San Francisco a couple years ago, and then wrote a book, so I was home mainly for that. And so I'm sort of in the same way. But I think, you know, maybe it's like opening yourself up to host a study group or a meetup group, or go to, where do people gather? Unity churches, or what's going on in your area? What kind of connections can you make? And just starting a little bit at a time to get out and look at what's available, I think.
At least throw yourself into something.
Something like that.
Yeah. I agree. Because let's get into the idea of the spherical holographic perception, because that's really where I wanted to go with this.
Just going to the deep end right away.
Yeah. You know, my audience, they're well aware. I've tossed them into the deep end a couple of times. And I think this is one of the most critical points right now, because the concept of linear perception is what leads to these witch hunts. People think that they have to destroy this one thing in order to create a new thing. And your Transformation Trilogy, these three books, The Intuitive Way, Frequency, and The Leap of Perception, are a guidance to the spherical holographic perception, which I think is a great term. I've never had a word, you know, a descriptive phrase for what I'm trying to explain to people, that, yeah, you think you live in a linear reality, but I've shown myself over and over and over again that this world is filled with mystery of divine synchronicities that you just can't explain. There's no linear action that could have led to some of the conclusions and coincidences that happen.
It feels like there's something I want to say about that thing you said about, you know, putting your attention on the witch hunts and the all that negative stuff coming up. You know, it's like, I already said that if you put your attention on it, it just kind of creates more of it. I've often thought that with suffering, you know, the whole idea of it, if you hate it and you want to prevent it and you want to rescue people from it, you're still giving attention to it. And that, you know, perpetuates it. If you agree with suffering, you become a victim, you know, and go into it also. And then that adds energy to it. So partly what we have to do when we're looking at these polarities, like, oh, here's the conspiracies and, these powerful people are trying to control the world, or the victims are out there not being able to do anything, is don't put attention on either side, but eclipse the whole polarity. In other words, rise above it and take the third point on the triangle, you know, like the helicopter view, and look at how each side contains the other side. That the extremists often have the other extreme latent within them. You know, so it's not about either or. It's about when you join them together, there comes a new reality that is much more about holism and integration. And that's a pathway out of this. You know, at the same time, it doesn't excuse us from not speaking truth to power, you know, or not standing up for real truth. But truth, remember, has a lot of compassion in it, you know. And so if you're going to war against people who are in war-like mentality, you're just perpetuating a war-like mentality. But if you're just peaceniks, you know, you're sort of doing the same thing. Right. So what's required is conscious action toward creating new realities. In other words, you're helping bleed off the attention that's going into the conspiracy theories or into the acting out of the dominating reality, you know, the dominators, by not paying attention to them and not giving them what they think they want so much, and just putting attention into something else. And pretty much those old realities will dry up. They won't have the attention necessary to keep themselves in form. I don't know if that makes sense, but
kind of like turning your back on the boogeyman in a dream.
But by ignoring it and pretending it's not there, but by just saying it's there and I don't choose to give it attention, I'm going to go to a new reality that's where things like that really don't need to happen. You know, where things already are much more unified. And, you know, so to really the principle here is that you will materialize what you place attention on. And that can be your next job or, you know, your next computer, you know, or a negative reality, a scary reality. And if you take attention out of it by kind of being bored, you know, and not really fueling a reality you don't like, You can't get rid of anything because there's no outside world. There's nowhere to put something or reject something. The only thing that can happen is that something that's already in form will be drained of energy and it goes back into the unified field as raw material. It just loses its form and gets outmoded by a new form, right? So something will take its place that will be more evolved. It's just like the internet, took over from the telephone, and TV in a way. Things that are at a higher frequency are now eclipsing those things that were at a lower frequency. And that's just the way it's going to go. So the people who are sticking to those ultra-conservative and fundamentalist kinds of realities that rely on domination and narcissism, they're just not vibrating at a high enough frequency. They're going to shoot themselves in the foot. They're going to take themselves out just out of stupidity because they're going to be seen by everybody else to be old-fashioned and really stupid and not functional. So you don't have to fight them like that and get all upset. Just help them seem boring.
Right. I mean, we've witnessed paradigm shifts, and now our historical view shows us these paradigm shifts over and over again. We can go back 1,000 years when they started to realize that the priests weren't exactly the true connector to God and that they most likely were all pedophiles as well. And this shifted the whole consciousness to people seeking the knowledge from within that they believed on. Now they could possibly seek their own connection to God and get rid of the middleman. Yeah. Now it's the government that's pretty much that same person, this middleman between us and existing with others.
Right. And we just have to go direct anyway. Just, in your own reality, do it as cleanly and directly as you can. And then, when something comes up that, I know people who are so sensitive that they want the outer world to match the way they are. They're not going to like a reality unless the people there are really conscious. And I've said to them, look, take this as an opportunity to be a thought leader. Use the teachable moments here that come up where people don't understand something. Step in and help them understand. That way you fulfill a role and you convince yourself of the same thing at the same time.
Right.
Instead of backing away and saying, oh, the world is too, negative for me. I can't fit in, stay in your own home frequency, bring through your own soul's energy, your own, clarity, and then just go where you go and talk when you feel like talking and help people instead of withdrawing.
Yeah, we're definitely in a competition for energy, and we're a bunch of psychic vampires, whether we realize it or not. And, it has a lot to do with the removal of hope and beauty in our lives.
And the not understanding, and when you're in your left brain too much, you're in linear perception. And that means you're in separated consciousness. And then it seems like there's scarcity. You see, I have to get stuff and keep it and maintain it and not share it with anybody because there's only a limited amount. But when you move to the right brain and into the sort of divine feminine consciousness where everything's unified in the unified field, there's plenty. There's the imaginal realm. You can have anything you want. Just put the variables together and bring it into form. No limit, And so we don't have to be energy vampires because there's so much energy, we don't even know what to do with it.
Right.
There's so much wisdom. If we embodied it all, we couldn't even stay in the body.
Right.
So there's no lack. It's just that left brain being too dominant.
That negative talk.
That's negative self-talk, yeah. And of course, the left brain is related to language. If you're talking to yourself, you're in your left brain. The right brain, when you shift into that, you go into silence and you get really quiet. You're kind of like an animal, a dog, and you're just observing life. You're feeling part of it. You feel connected to the things around you. And you sink into that really immersed, engaged experience of life where you feel kinship with even inanimate objects, because you can start to feel the energy inside of things. And that energy is the same energy that's in you. And then you move into communion. And now you go into kind of sacred experiences, sacred states, you know, and so, and then, but you need the left brain in order to interrupt the right brain, or else you'd never have any sense of self or know anything, because you'd be immersed in the all that is. So the left brain does serve its function by focusing on specific things and making them conscious. But then where it goes wrong is it tries to lock it down and calcify it and preserve it forever, when it needs to be let go of to move again, go back to the right brain, pick up more data, bring it back over to the left brain, make it conscious, let go of it, go back and access more information, bring it back, you know, make it conscious. But don't stop the flow, you know?
Yes. I constantly try to bring myself back to that place where I was when I was, say, you know, 10 years old. And I could turn an entire box into a world. You know, a bookshelf became this alternate reality, and my toys were alive, and this reality was real, and time didn't exist. And I think that type of childlike play and childlike wonder is beaten out of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not credible for adults to do that. But, you know, if we want to be geniuses and really do excellent work and actually make a contribution to the world that's positive, you got to open that back up again, or else we'll just be flat, you know, brittle, you know, and like I said, boring, two-dimensional.
Yes. Now, I've gotten out there, and I've had these miraculous coincidences occur to me. My whole body gets covered in goosebumps. I can't believe the things that are going on. I'm so excited and thrilled to be alive. I would like to discuss a little bit of what the world would be like if we accepted this intuition age.
That's a huge, I've written several books on this.
So. Yeah. I figured we had about 10 more minutes here. So.
And we can, you know, get into the spherical holographic. I didn't mean to put that off.
Not a problem. We can put that into our second hour and get deeper into that. And no problem.
I think, to answer your question, though, as we get more into the intuition age, which is a shift out of the information age, and, you know, that's happening partly because everything's accelerating so much that we just can't process all the data we're getting with the left brain in a sequential linear fashion. It's too much. It's like we're on overload, you know? So it's kind of prompting this explosion into the right brain or into the field, where it's like it's all there at once. And you don't have to lay it out step by step by step by step and bite by bite, you know, to try to understand it logically, because you get direct knowing. And that is intuition, really. And then once you have that sort of grokking of the pattern of something where it all comes into you at once and impresses you almost telepathically or kinesthetically, and your body becomes highly sensitive and very powerful as a new kind of brain. You know, the body becomes the big brain. So that we start to have this direct knowing of large patterns, and then slowly it transfers through the brain over into the left brain and makes itself known, and you start to understand it, and you can describe it with language and makes itself conscious, and then maybe it breaks down into like new technologies or improvements for society or whatever it is. But the first step is always that sense of feeling into something. And I mean that by it's not a left brain process. You become one with the thing that you're looking at. You sense what's going on inside of it, and you keep paying attention to it until you penetrate into it, and pretty soon you merge with it, and then you know it by becoming it, which is, you know, the mystic way. And as you know something by becoming it, you can speak as that thing. You know what it's here for. You know what it needs. You know the path of evolution that it's taking. And then you don't mistreat things, you know, because you have compassion for the validity and dignity of the life of, like, an old car or a tree or a homeless person or whatever. You know, you feel the core vibration or soul or innate pattern that's there. And, you know, there's great respect that comes out of that. So that's a huge thing, I think, that's coming in the intuition age, is that we have a lot of direct knowing of things and we feel interconnected. So that collective consciousness becomes a huge thing, and we're already seeing that, you know, through social media. Like, yeah. Everybody feels like they know everybody else without meeting them.
Right, right.
You know? And people want to be connected a lot now. They don't want to be just alone. And Absolutely. In fact, it's gone overboard that way, I think, because people don't know how to get quiet now. So they're too addicted to the left brain and to that kind of dopamine stimulation of constantly connecting and waiting for the next text. And, you know, rather than just being and going into the quiet so they can access those higher realms themselves and not have gizmos that, you know, do it for them.
Absolutely.
You know, so the intuition age is going to, when it really comes in, I think we are going to discover our expanded capacities, things that used to be supernatural, you know, like clairvoyance and clairsentience and, you know, psychokinesis and whatever, all mm-hmm. these things. And we'll be able to do it. But we've got to have that big realization that we are capable of these things directly without machines. Then the machines become our servants, you know, they help us, but they don't do it for us. So we have to develop some skill, and I think intuition is the first skill. It's exciting, it's fun, you know, we've got to see it that way, that it's just this amazing thing that we can do. And yeah. But you have to get quiet first.
Develop the empathy. Absolutely.
Right.
Well, I want to share a couple of stories with you that, because I'm so impressed that you use the word grok. And I am a longtime water brother. And, you know, one time I was at a rainbow gathering, and I speak of these rainbow gatherings often. This is where 20 to 30,000 people since 1974 gather in a national forest, build a primitive community, and exist there for a month or so. And we were on our way into one of the gatherings, and I was in a grocery store getting some supplies to bring into the woods, and there was this man there, and he says, let's see, he asked me for a drink of water. And so I said, well, sure, drink deep, may you never thirst, which, folks, if you don't know, is a quote from Stranger in a Strange Land, which is where the word grok comes from. And this guy was a member of the Church of All Worlds, I mean, which, folks, is the church that's created from the book Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein. So this coincidence is just, he could not believe that I was another water brother right there. And just because I pulled out this random quote from a book, you know, off my shelves that I truly love, one of my favorite books, folks, Stranger in a Strange Land, highly recommended. He was a rich man. He took me into that grocery store and he filled 3 shopping carts full to bring to my kitchen to feed everyone, just because I had that simple connection with him in that one moment of bringing about the idea of grokking with him. You know, amazing. Yes. How this goes.
Well, the other thing from that book is that sentence, waiting is.
Waiting is. You'll also yes. learn why you laugh. I highly recommend that. Waiting yeah. is. Yeah.
yeah. And it's like, you know, be quiet. Just be for a minute, you know, just get out of your left brain.
Well, you know how I shop, Penny? I go into the grocery store, and as I walk past the aisles, I let my soul decide what it is that it wants. I'll mm-hmm. think about the thing that's there, and it's, no, you don't want to eat that. And my diet has become great. I just listen to that. It's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your body knows what it needs, and it'll give you a truth signal or an anxiety signal about whether you want it or not. You know, like an expansion, excitement, leaning into feeling, or a kind of retraction, pull away, darker feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It totally works. That's a great tool to start practicing this type of thought.
It is. It's one of the really early ways you can start developing your intuition is watching, because everybody has their own sense of when something's true for you, you have an actual physical response somewhere in the body. It might be bubbling energy coming up the back and out the arms, like people say they get chills.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Other people feel spreading warmth coming out from their chest or their forehead or something, and or people hear a bell ring, you know, it rings true. You know, they have different things. Things click or clunk into place.
Yeah.
You know? And then the anxiety signals are often solar plexus related, you know, the fist in the contraction in the pit of your stomach, or feeling like you're having a heart attack. But things contract, right? And they get denser or colder, or like feet of clay, you know, where the energy retracts from the hands and feet and you get cold in your extremities. You're protecting your core, basically. So those are sort of subtle fear reactions. And you can start discriminating what yours are and then use subtle versions of those to make decisions.
Without a doubt, folks, this is an absolute reality, and it's going to become our reality. Another example, Penny, that I want to share, just, you know, just so people could see that this is in existence. And I decided to test my clairvoyance. And one of the best places, again, is at the Rainbow Gathering, because there's zero interference. You know, there's no Wi-Fi, there's no nothing, zero interference, nothing but you and consciousness. And I'm sitting up at what is known as Love and Ovens, and they are making their famous chicken enchiladas. And I'm up there pulling chicken apart with my burning fingers, this hot chicken, putting all these enchiladas together, saying I'm suffering a little bit to get this done because I want this food. It's so good. And I start getting this little nudge in my brain, an intuition, if you will, or clairvoyance, saying I had to return to my kitchen, which was way down the mountain. And I'm like, no, I'm telling my brain, no, don't call me now, no. But because I wanted to believe, I wanted to see whether or not I was actually being called, I ran all the way down the mountain to my kitchen, which is called Millie Ways, folks, just so you know. And I found out that they were standing there waiting for me. They were like, we were just about to give up on you. I'm the baker. Somebody was having a wedding. They needed a wedding cake. And they had been screaming to me in the psychic realms, and I listened, and I acted, and I went down there, and I said, oh my God, how did I know? How could this be real? And I see that as our future.
Well, I think that's a common thing that's happening to a lot of people now, is this is telepathy coming in. You know, to me, telepathy is almost like impressionability. You can almost feel it impress you a little bit. As it comes in, it's not always just hearing, but you get impressed messages, you know, and I think people are, you know, you could call it reading somebody's mind, but it's also just the recognition of communication coming toward you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's, I hear it a lot now that it's more and more common.
I believe it. And folks, believe this, because this is our future. This is where it's all going. And all the knowledge and all the data you're taking in now is simply so that you can transform from it. It is not to become a witch hunter. This is a goal to be able to release yourself from all of this negativity, because that's why we take in this data. That's why we want to know all these things, so that we can just cast it aside and turn to what we know is right, and to trust in ourselves in knowing that what is right. And trust is one of the biggest issues we have right now. And there's a lot of very depressed people out there. I wonder, Penny, do you think that there, you know, we're aware of things like HARP and these frequency modulation technologies. Do you believe that there is like a schizoid depression frequency that they may be putting out? Do you have any ideas on that?
Oh, gosh. I would not have any idea about anything like that. But again, it's all up to you. You know, you choose your vibration. You know, and if you want to give power to something in the outside world, you're going to lose your own energy. you know, because you're not paying attention to your own core, you know, like anger, for instance. If you're feeling like you have to oppose these power people doing bad things to you and be angry about it, you know, anger really to me is only the fact that you've given your power away to something in the quote outside world to keep you from feeling something or being something that's true for you. You've given your power away, but it's you who did it, not the other people.
Right.
Right. And so it's all up to us to keep our own authority inside of ourselves and say, nobody can make me feel bad unless I choose to. You know, people can, there's a million vibrations in the world, you know, there's a million depressed people in the world. I mean, the telepathic connection with that one frequency of consciousness, that's more powerful than any machine broadcasting, you know.
Right.
It's don't give it so much power.
And then we need to be able to build ourselves up to lift the others up out of their quagmire, right?
Sure, as a resonance. You know, just say, hey, here's another example of a frequency you might prefer. You know, it feels a lot better.
Right.
You know? Yeah. How about this one? You know, it's not about rescuing them. It's about educating them.
Yeah, because they're going to tell you, well, if I'm not angry, nothing's going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
that's because they're not understanding the power of attention.
Yes. Which brings on the law of emergence, folks, and that is what will transcend us and transform us. Believe us, folks, this world is coming, and it's going to be amazing and epic, and it's so hard to see right now because of all the layers of negativity that are being bounced. I mean, my God, I'm telling you, folks, the human mind, the left brain, was never intended to take in as much data as we do now. It is a crazy time to be alive. This information age is absolutely going to shift to the intuition age because we have to, and because the brain's just naturally going to do it. So if we start to accept these modalities now, start to test your own theories, go into the grocery store and see if your intuition will tell you what to eat. Go out and just throw yourself into the mix, folks, because that's step A. If you need a linear step, that's the one. Go, you know, right, Penny?
That's right. That's right.
And then
exactly.
Fulfill all of this. So, folks, let's just take it into reality that the narrative of life is the true paradigm creator, and we are working on our own narrative. And so we must trust, we must realize that this intuition is real and that clairvoyance and telepathy and all of these powers are well within the human spectrum, and that life can unfold into a spherical holographic perception that then molds everybody to the right place at the right time. And I know that this just doesn't seem possible at this very moment, but Penny and I both see this flipping of the coin as the world turns, if you will. And we see that this law of emergence is coming to fruition. So I want to definitely point you in the direction of checking out Penny Pierce's Transformation Trilogy, The Intuitive Way, the frequency, the power of personal vibration, and Leap of Perception, the transforming power of your attention, which currently is the most recent and most important work of Penny Pierce. You can get all of this work at pennypierce.com. And of course, it's all linked right below so that you can get right over there and check this stuff out. Penny and I are going to jump into the members section where we like to get a little more creative and a little more into the vibe of things and to really dig deeper into understanding what it'll be like when this happens and get more into the modalities and methods that are required for us to release ourselves and understand that we have now emerged into a new paradigm. It's going to happen, folks. It's inevitable. So, final words, Penny, for this hour?
Oh, my gosh. I feel actually very hopeful myself. I feel like probably we've been waiting many lifetimes for this time, actually. And yes, though it looks really negative on the surface, I think there's a big clearing process underway that's going to usher us into a kind of reality where things are going to work so effortlessly. So we're going through the bottleneck.
Yes, yes. And I'll tell you, folks, on the other side of the bottleneck is free expanse. And I know that this world is coming. Penny's been working on this since 1977. I've been working on this since 1990. And we know, because we can see over these decades, that the paradigm is shifting and that this reality is coming to the surface. And it's not going to, it's going to be effortless, you see. That's the big difference between a linear reality and an intuition reality. So I hope that you all will join us on the other side. If you're not a member yet, please do. Become a subscriber. Help us get going. Let me get Fritz Springmeier on the air for you. And I'm shooting for Kathy O'Brien, too. And we're going to have just an amazing network here to transform society from this ultimate mind control slave into the true liberated being that you should be. This is the one and only goal of the Free Zone, folks. So if you thought it was any different, well, now you know. So I hope you all will come over to freemantv.com, share it, love it, and know that you could start listening to this show and be listening to it for the next 12 years and never get through it all, because yes, this is the longest running conspiracy talk show on YouTube and the longest show going for quite some time on everywhere else. So thank you so much, folks, for being who you are. And I just want you to know that everyone notices. All the guests have said you are the most wonderful, amazing audience out there. So I just wanted to give you props on that. And Penny, this has been a wonderful hour. I know they loved it, but we're going to have so much more fun on the other side.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, yeah, had to do it. So, folks, get on over there. Get your copy of Leap of Perception. You need this book because these are the keys that you need to start to open this world and then push yourself out the door and go ahead and give it a try. So we'll see you all on the other side.